Let's start with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we tonight as we open up your word, first we understand that this is your word, and Lord, we approach your word with respect and with honor, and we ask that you would teach us from your word tonight and show us what you would have for us. May our hearts be open and receptive to you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When people get into the arts and they start doing like photography or film or painting or drawing and all of those things, sometimes they can get into them thinking that if I just know how to do everything and I have the best tools, then I'll be able to produce phenomenal works of art. And, you know, I'll be as great as everybody else if I just have the knowledge that I need and I have the exact tools. But then what you find out is that you also need to have a kind of a unique way of looking at things. You got to be able to look at things just in a different way than other people. And that's what great artists have, is they see the same things as you and I see, but it's like they look at them in a unique and in a different sort of way, and they're able to bring that out in their art. I mean, if you gave me like a phenomenal camera and stuck me in the same place as a great photographer, and we're like, shoot away, and I'm out there, you know, taking pictures, you'd be able to tell which ones were mine. All right, you'd be able to tell, even if, you know, they were clear, it's not like they were blurry or anything, but just in the way they're composed and all of that, there's something different about the way a great artist is able to see things. And they look at things that we maybe have seen a lot, and they just look at them in a different way. You know, how many times have you gone to an art museum and you've seen a bowl of fruit that somebody has painted? And you go, you know, a bowl of fruit, I wouldn't give that a second thought in daily life, you know? Even if I was hungry, you know, I might see it and go, okay, I have a backup to my backup plan. But, in everyday life, you're going to say, it's just a bowl of fruit. You go to, like, an art museum and you'll spend 5 minutes, you know, that's maybe on the low end because it is just a bowl of fruit. But you'll spend more time looking at that because of how they portrayed it and all of this, and they're able to see things in a unique and a different way and share that then through their art with their viewers and the people that see that. And they're able to reframe things that are maybe mundane or boring and show you that they can be very interesting. And Jesus Christ does that with something that's maybe considered boring and kind of everyday. And he does that with serving other people. And he takes that and he gives to the disciples this new way of looking at it that I don't think they had had before. Because I want us to go back to Mark chapter 9. If you will go back there with me. Mark chapter 9, in verse 33, we get a little insight into the view that the disciples were taking of serving and of other people. Because in Mark chapter 9 and verse 33, it says that he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked his disciples, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? Verse 34, but they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And maybe they thought they were being quiet, but Jesus heard them and knew exactly what they were talking about. But verse 35, he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And we get a little insight into what was a high priority for these disciples. And it certainly wasn't being a servant. And Jesus was taking where he knew they were and taking how they viewed serving other people and humbling themselves and doing things for other people. He took that view and he said, why don't you view it a different way? And he did that by example and the things that he said. And so in verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 13, we see what Jesus Christ did. He got down and he took upon him basically the form of a servant, right? If we could borrow that phrase from Philippians. He girded himself as a servant, verse 5, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he did this extraordinary act of service because he wanted them to see service in a completely different way than the way they had seen it. And tonight, despite how we may have viewed service in the past, or what we might think about service right now, we need to reframe that. We need to see it how Jesus Christ sees service. We need to see it from his perspective. And so he asks in verse 12 this question, "Know ye what I have done to you?" And what had Jesus Christ done? Well, number one, he had defined service for them. And he defined service as selfless action, as selfless action. And we're going to see this from the first five verses. So in verse 1, John is beginning to set the stage for Christ's service. And so he says, before the feast of the Passover in verse 1, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. John is setting up this act that Jesus Christ is about to do. And he's giving us insight into the mind of Jesus Christ, what he knew, the time. And Jesus Christ was aware of all of this. We've seen this before, that he knew the time that he had left. And so he was doing something that was very important in that time. It says that the feast of the Passover, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. So this would be Thursday night. And Thursday night was the night where he would be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Friday would be his and that the trial would take Thursday night into Friday morning, and Friday he would be crucified. So he is literally right at the end of his life before he is crucified. Jesus knew he was facing a difficult death. In chapter 12 and verse 27, Jesus would say, "Now is my soul troubled." In Matthew chapter 26, which talks the description of the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ would say, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And it's in this time that Jesus Christ does this very selfless action. And John wants us to know that this was Jesus Christ being selfless in this difficult time for him. And what we find is that service, Jesus' service was selfless because of the timing, because of when Jesus Christ was doing this. And that's what true Christian service always is. It's always selfless in its timing. It seems like there's rarely a good time to serve, but there's always an inconvenient time to serve. I mean, that's just the way it is. It seems like it's like there's never a really good time in our schedule for us to serve someone else. But I think in order for us to serve, we're going to have to choose to do it even when it's inconvenient. The other day, I think it was a couple Fridays ago, we were at school and Matthew was going home after kindergarten at 11:30 with someone. He's going over someone's house. And so Erica didn't have to take him home. She said, "Why don't we go out for lunch today?" And that morning, I had kind of had things planned out, how I was going to run my day and all of this. And I went, "I can't. I've got stuff going on. You know, I can't do it today. You know, I have things that I'm going to get done and all of that." Once I went back to my office and, you know, was doing stuff, and I went, why can't I go out to lunch? I mean, it's nothing that's like I have to do at that time, right? I can push it back an hour or half hour or whatever, you know. I like to think I'm spontaneous, that I'm like, you know, any, like if somebody's like, "Hey, you know, are you pretty spontaneous?" I'd be like, "Yeah, you know." And somebody was like, "Hey, wouldn't it be great to go out with your wife for lunch sometime?" I'd be like, "Yeah, anytime, you know, anytime would be great." But then it's like, "How about this time?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know." You know, my version of spontaneous is I think about it for a little bit and then I spring it on you. And I go, "Hey, how about in like the next 20 minutes we do something?" Now, I think that's my version. But, you know, it was inconvenient, I thought at that time, but then I was like, it's not that inconvenient. I can move things around and fit it in if I really want to. I think we can do the same thing with serving other people. We might go, "You know what? This isn't the best time, but I can make it work for someone else. I can fit it into my schedule," because I think it's going to be pretty rare when it's, "Hey, this is the perfect time for this random thing to come up in my life." It's more going to be, "I'm going to prioritize this. I'm going to say that this is important for me to serve someone else." So even though it is inconvenient, I'm still just going to do it. And it's service is always easy in theory, but it's harder to actually implement it, to then practice it and to put it into place in our life. But we can't wait till it's just really convenient for us or just fits in with our schedule. We have to be willing to do it in a time when it's inconvenient. And Jesus was very selfless in his timing of this. Jesus was also selfless in the recipient for his service. What Jesus did wasn't required by his relationship with them. In fact, it was unusual for the master to do this for his disciples, right? You would think they would have a servant generally in a household that would do this. And maybe we could even say for the disciples to wash the feet of the master, but certainly not for the master to wash the feet of his disciples. It was unusual. It was sort of a role reversal. Why didn't Jesus just have Peter do it? You know, he could have looked at Peter and said, "Peter, you need to learn this. You wash the disciples' feet, and you get down there and you put that towel on. You get the basin and all of that." But Jesus was showing them that service works in all directions, in every direction. You think about a plane, right? What makes a plane special? It doesn't make it special that it can go down. It doesn't make a plane special because it can go horizontally, right? Cars can do that. Cars can go down. Cars can go across. A plane is unique because it goes up, and cars generally don't do that, right? And that's what makes it different. That's what makes our service different, is that it goes in every single direction. And now, I don't like using the words up and down when we refer to serving people, because as Christians, we know that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody is equal in God's eyes. I've heard it said before that there are no inferiors and superiors with Jesus Christ. But our pride talks in those terms, doesn't it? And when we see people and we say, there's this need, I need to serve here, our pride starts looking in terms of up and down. It goes, maybe we shouldn't serve in that direction. But that's what James talks about. We shouldn't be respecters of persons as Jesus Christ wasn't. And at that time, when our pride starts to dissuade us from serving because of the person that we're going to be serving or our relationship with them or whatever, we need to say, no, I will serve whoever God wants me to serve. It's not going to be about who they are and looking at them. And he was very selfless, that he humbled himself before his disciples, those that were beneath him, right, in that relationship. And he said, I will serve them. And then he was selfless in his reason for serving. And he says that he served by love. In the end of verse 1, John points out that he loved his own which were in the world, and he loved them unto the end. Isn't that a great phrase? He loved them unto the end. Wow, that's what I want to know, that Jesus, the way that Jesus Christ loves me, is that he will love me unto the end. But there's really two reasons for serving, and that's, we could say we could serve by love or we could serve by law. You go to a restaurant, you go to like Applebee's or something, that waitress is going to serve you by law, not like government law, but it's because she has to, right? She's bringing you your food and your drink and, you know, whatever appetizer. She's getting paid to do that. I mean, that's one way to serve, and that's fine, right? But as Christians, we need to serve by love. Now, we know that God tells us to serve. So there is an aspect of serving by law, because we're required to, because God asks us to, but it shouldn't end there. We also need to serve one another because we care and because we love them as God loves them. And I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know this chapter is about love and about charity. But in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, he uses serving other people as this illustration. And he says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity," he says, "it profiteth me nothing." So, you know, there is profit. I mean, the poor, they still got the food, right? And in the beginning of verse 3. But then he ends with, "it profiteth me nothing." And Paul's point is this. We have to serve by love, not just because God asks us to, but because we love other people. And Jesus was selfless in that he served by love. And so Jesus defined this service for them, right? As we begin this passage and all that John tells us, Jesus is setting out this definition that it is selfless actions. It's you giving of yourself. It's you lowering yourself. It's you humbling yourself. Selfless actions. And he defined it for us. The question is, how is our life defining Christian service? What's the definition that we are showing other people in how we serve? Are we showing that service is really just a matter of convenience for us, that we're only doing it when we have the time or if we have the time? Is that what we're showing? When's the last time we served when it was inconvenient for us? When we said, I'm going to make this choice. I'm going to put off some other things maybe that I had planned so that I could serve someone else. When's the last time we've served someone that wasn't in our friend group, in those that we're close to? When's the last time we really reached outside to someone that we're not familiar with and said, I'm going to serve that person, even though maybe they've never done anything for me? Because that's what Jesus Christ said service was. It's selfless actions. But then I also want to see that Jesus Christ demonstrated that Christian service is helpful. That Christian service is helpful. Look in verse 6. It says, then cometh he to Simon, verse 5, we'll start there. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He demonstrated that Christian service is helpful. So Jesus washed his disciples' feet, right? He did this for them, and I noticed really two things about this. The first is that he did something for them that they could have done for themselves, and probably would have if Jesus Christ hadn't done it for them, right? He took care of something that they could have done for themselves, that they were capable of doing. But also, it seems like this was the first time Jesus Christ had done this, because we see Simon Peter's reaction to this, right? This was the reaction of someone where this hasn't happened to him before, and kind of is like his first reaction to that. And it seems like Peter's first reaction to things probably wasn't his best reaction to things. So we could say that maybe this was Jesus's first time washing the disciples' feet. And so we can get two things from this. The first is that we don't determine whether we help someone based on whether they are capable of doing it for themselves or not. And secondly, we don't help someone based on our capability or lack thereof. And we could even say that we don't accept help just based on our capability or their capability to help, right? So we don't look at someone and say, well, they can do it by themselves. They really don't need me. That shouldn't determine whether or not we help out. And it also shouldn't determine whether or not we help out if we look at ourselves and say, oh, I don't know that much about that, or maybe I'm not the best at that, or I don't know what I'm doing at all in that. That shouldn't determine. Right? If God puts it on our heart to help, we need to just go ahead and help out. Sometimes we feel like Moses when it comes to serving people. Do you remember when God asked Moses, and Jared preached about this, when God asked Moses to go and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? He had some real questions for God. He said, who am I? He said, what am I going to tell them? What am I going to do? And he said, I don't know if they're going to believe. He said, I don't know if it's going to work. He had all these questions, and they're basically the questions we have when we think about helping someone. Like, I don't know, who am I? And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. What am I going to talk to them about? I don't know if it's going to help if I show up. And we go through these questions about whether or not we should. Sometimes we think ourselves out of, and we mentally talk ourselves out of doing what God wants us to do. And we allow these questions to really take us away from that. And something I've been learning more and more is that helping someone is really less about what you do and more about just being there and just your presence showing how much you care for them. It's really less about that you're able to take over and solve all their problems for them in the moment you arrive. It's that you show them that you care just by being there. Job's friends, right? They were doing great up until the moment they opened their mouth. When they just sat there and were with Job, that was great. It's when they started like trying to fix things that all of a sudden they ran into a lot of issues and they really messed the whole situation up with that. Sometimes it's just us showing up and showing someone that we care about them. And it's kind of the attitude that I may not know what I'm doing and I may not be the person most capable to help, but I can show them how much I care for them and just being there and just showing up and helping in whatever way possible. And I want us to turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, because there's a principle here that I want us to see. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. It gives us this principle that two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I think right now there are people out there that they need us to be that second cord or that third cord in their life. They're there by themselves and they're looking for someone else. And they just need someone else to stand with them and encourage them and help them. And many times it's less about us helping with something physically and us just being there for them and being that person that they can lean on. And it talks about if one falls, that the other will lift up his fellow. And that we can just be there as that second or third cord that they need to strengthen them in that time. And we can do that as Christians. We can be that core just by our presence, just by showing them that we care. And so Jesus looked at his disciples and said, you know what, they can do this by themselves. Maybe I've never done this before, but I'm going to show them the importance of doing this, of just being helpful. But it's interesting that as Jesus does this, Peter brings something up. All right, and he brings up this objection in verse 8 of John 13. He says, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Verse 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And Jesus Christ, it seems like almost he goes off on a rabbit trail, right? Like Jesus, Peter brings this up, and so Jesus Christ goes, I'll run with this. It's not really what we're doing. You know, we're about service here, but, you know, we'll talk about cleansing and all of this. But then we know that Jesus Christ did everything on purpose, right? So this was no rabbit trail. But he took this opportunity to teach about cleansing and about being clean, not just physically, but being clean spiritually. And tonight we're not going to take time to delve into that. But what I want us to see is that service often opens up opportunities to minister to people spiritually and to share truth with them. Many times it's the gospel if they're not saved. But it can be people that are saved and we're able to share something with them, not just physically, but spiritually. They're able to not just serve, but also to minister to their spirit and minister to them. And I'm sure many of you have found this to be true, that as you offer to help someone and as you just talk with them about whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're helping them with, it's like God opens up these doors for you to minister. It was a couple years ago, Eric and I went to Newport for our anniversary and we toured the mansions there. Have any of you done that? Those are really interesting. And so they have some of these, like the Breakers and the Elms and Marble House and all of these. And we were going through the Breakers, taking this guided tour through the headphones. And they pointed out that in a lot of these rooms, they would have these kind of obscure doors. And these were the doors for the servants, right? They had the nice ornate ones for the non-servants, you know, the regular people, I guess. And then for the servants, they would have these like panels that would open in the wall and they would have their servant passageways. And it's like they're not the first thing that you would notice in the room. They had a lot of other things that are beautiful that would distract you. But then you'd start to notice these smaller doors for the servants. And life's like that. It's like we're going around and then it's like God points out to us, hey, here's a door for you to serve. All right, here's a door for you to minister. In all that's going on, a lot of things that you're doing, it's like God opens our eyes to these opportunities that we have to talk to someone and to minister to someone. And instead of it just being about physically being there or physically helping someone, God says, here's an opportunity for you to minister. Here's a door that I've opened in this person's life for you to meet a deeper need and a spiritual need in their life. And God allows us to have opportunities to minister to someone. And we've got to keep our eyes open for those servant doors as we help people. But Jesus was demonstrating to them that service, it's about helping people. And it's as we do that, we get to minister. We have opportunities to have an impact upon them spiritually. But the last thing I want to see tonight is that Jesus Christ, after he had defined and demonstrated what true Christian service was, number three, I want to see that he declared that Christian service would be blessed. So he talks in verse 13 about things that we've mentioned. He says, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, verse 13, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. He said, I'm showing you something. You need to catch on to this. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And Jesus said, you're not better than me, so you don't get out of serving. Verse 17, though, he ends with this. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Happy are ye if ye do them. Have you ever heard the saying, find a job you enjoy and you'll never work a day in your life? Yeah, I mean, but then there's a reality that kind of goes with that. That's more like you take a job because you need the money and then you work every day for the rest of your life. I mean, that's how it kind of turns out to be sometimes. You're like, I don't have the opportunity to wait for the job I enjoy. Right? It's like, here's one that God gives before you. You're like, I'm going to go with that one. And then, you know, God gives you joy in that job, right? As you do it for him. But sometimes it's almost like that's what we think service means. It's like, I'm just going to take this job, even though I'm not happy about it. I'm going to just work at it. And you know what? I'm going to suffer in that. But I like that Jesus Christ said, listen, if you do this, even though it's maybe something that in the past you've looked at it as drudgery and as something that's boring, something you don't want to do, he says, if you do it in the right way, you'll be happy. If you know these things, the things that I've just told you and I've just shown you, and then if you go and do them in the way that I have done them, you're going to be happy. You're going to have joy even as you do these things. The word happy here is the same word that's translated blessed in a lot of other passages. You know what a blessing is? That's God's reward for what you're doing, right? That's God giving you a reward. I remember when I was younger, we used to go to a dentist. And I remember after I would get my cleaning, the dentist would let me go to like a little treasure box that they kept. And I got to pick out a toy. Of course, they didn't have candy there because they're a dentist. You know, I don't remember any candy, but I got to go and pick out a little treasure at his treasure box. And that was the greatest thing ever. You know, I'd go sit in that dentist chair as long as I got that little prize at the end. You know, God's treasure chest is filled with happiness and joy. And he gives us these things as we serve him. And he gives us happiness and joy and peace. And we could talk about other ones. But it's like he says, I know you're doing what is right. So here is my joy filling your heart for what you're doing. But then have you also noticed that when we go after the world's happiness, it's always tinged with guilt. It's like you've gone after the world's happiness and joy, but in your heart, you know. And the Holy Spirit won't let you get away from the fact that it's not the right way. And there's always that that side to it. It's like you've gone and you've tried to steal something from that treasure chest. You know, if I stole a toy from that treasure chest, I know I'd feel bad about it. And I'd be happy I had that toy, but part of me would be like, I know, man, if I get found out, and it just ruined it, right? We need to get joy God's way by doing the things that God has said, because the happiness that God gives is guilt-free. That's the joy that he gives to us. And so listen, if we're discouraged and sad, why don't we try getting joy God's way and finding someone that we can serve? And I think that if you're suffering in service rather than enjoying it, then you're not doing it God's way. And sometimes we think, you know, I'm going to take one for the team. I'm going to fall on my own sword and serve. You know, I'm going to do the job that nobody else wants to do. And, you know, if the world isn't going to persecute me, I'm going to persecute myself, you know, and I'm going to just really suffer in doing all of this. And I think if we're doing it that way, then we're really missing out on the things that God wants us to be doing in this. I don't think we're doing it selflessly. I don't think we're doing it out of love. We're not doing it really to help someone or with the purpose of ministering. And when we do the actions of service the wrong way, ultimately it's just us that's missing out. We still are maybe helping someone. We still may be doing something for someone and getting it done. But we're going to miss out in that. We're not going to have the joy that God wants for us to have in our lives. And Jesus ends up by telling his disciples, listen, don't worry. If you do this, if you know what I've told you and you go ahead and do it, you're going to be happy. You're going to have joy. You're not going to lose your joy by serving. You're not going to work yourself into a life of misery by serving. He said, if you know these things and you do them, you will be happy. And I like what Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says. It says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It says, God's not going to forget. God's not unrighteous to forget to reward you for what you've done for him. We need to find joy in serving other people. So Jesus, he showed them a different view of service. And he said, I know how you are looking at this. He says, I know how you look at service and how you see it. But he says, hold on, I want you to show you a different way. I want you to see it from my perspective. See how I view service in what I do and how I do it. He defined service as selfless actions. He demonstrated service as helping and ministering. And he declared that service would be rewarded with joy. You know, this the whole news cycle this week has been completely consumed by the coronavirus, right? And everybody's talking about that, and it's like all there is on the news. And there's a lot of uncertainty as to our future. It's like we always know that it's uncertain, but it's like now it is uncertain in a lot of different ways. Many things are shut down, and states have started to limit gatherings and all of that. People's jobs are being suspended, markets falling, and has fallen. There's, you know, all things that we could talk about. But it really is just a reminder for how fragile life is in many ways, or our way of life is. And, you know, there's a lot of people who have been prepping for the apocalypse for years, right? And they're, you know, storing stuff away and getting ready for this. And it's like, now's their time, right? They're all ready for this. And they've kind of been looking forward to things go in this direction. They're like, we're ready. We got everything we need to face this. I mean, as Christians, haven't we been prepping for things like this, for when things get difficult, right? We've had a time of where things have been easy in like a sense, right? And I know we've got struggles in our life, but we could look at this saying, you know what, this is what we've been prepping for. This is what God's been preparing us to go through, and to go through it in the right way, and to do things as God wants us to do. And we've prepared for this spiritually. God's going to bring us through this. There's no doubt about it. God's going to bring us through this and in this and all the way. But what's our response going to be to this? Right? I think two things. Number one, we really need to kind of lean hard into our Bible reading and praying time, right? Because it's about faith in this. As Pastor mentioned that this morning, I know in his before the message. We really need to lean hard into that and say, in those times where I might be tempted to fear or panic just a little bit or get a little unsure, I'm going back to what I know. And I'm going to get back to the Word of God in prayer and strengthen my faith. But also, another thing is that we need to look for people that we can help in these times. We need to have our eyes open for those that are around us. Because really, what an opportunity we have right now to selflessly serve those around us. Friends, neighbors, coworkers, family, church members, all sorts of people. We can look at this as an incredible opportunity to show Christ by serving those that are around us. And we really need to reframe our view of service so that we're able to serve the way God wants us to, so we can serve the way Jesus Christ served. And we've got to see it as selfless actions. We've got to see it as helping and ministering others. Because God's going to bring people across your path. And probably this week, He's going to bring someone across your path or bring your attention to someone that He wants you to help, that He wants you to serve them. And for you to put on you the garments of a servant and meet some need that they have. And you know what? It's going to be inconvenient, and it's going to come probably at not the best time for you in your life. And you're going to look at it and go, you know, I don't know exactly what to do in this situation. You know, I'm not the most capable to help, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And it might be a bit awkward. And I understand that. That's how I think about things, right? Like, I go, what am I going to say to this person? What am I going to talk about? What am I going to do in all of this? And we're going to have to make the decision. I'm going to show up and love them. You know, I'm just going to show up and do whatever I can. I'm going to be there and help in some way. I'm going to let them know that I care about them because Jesus cares about them. I'm going to show the love of Christ through myself. So tonight, let's reframe serving. Let's look at it from Jesus's perspective. And maybe we've looked at it in the past and said, why would I ever want to do that if I didn't have to? Why would I bore myself with that? Let's change the way we look at it. Let's see the way Jesus Christ saw it. Let's see it as something that is going to bring joy in our life and something that is going to give us chances to minister to people. And so let's serve people. Let's follow Jesus Christ's example and see it how He saw it. Let's close with prayer.